One. What's up, everybody? We just had one of the greatest first rounds in the NBA in quite some time. Even though I think we're only getting one game seven. So despite that, for all you basketball fans, you know the storylines of what went down over the last
Yeah.
couple weeks since round one started. So I don't want to waste any time. I think people we want to right get into the juicy stuff here. As the number one seed in the entire NBA association, got sent packing in five
That's just wild, man. Title favorite. They were the betting
crazy.
favorite to win the title.
By the very team that you remember, we had no belief in Miami. We said their shooting is porous.
Bottom five offense in the NBA all year. Their shooting was bad.
No
All of a
offense.
sudden,
Crazy.
you got Kevin Love looking like it's fucking 2015, just fucking hitting every three, taking charges because he can't protect the rim. He's not doing that. You got Kyle Lowry fucking cooking. You got Max Strus cooking.
Gabe
Duncan
Vincent,
Robinson.
Gabe Vincent,
Caleb
Cody
Martin, that
Martin.
game four for Caleb. Is it Caleb or
Caleb.
Cody? I think it's Caleb, right?
I think it's
Getting
Caleb.
gamed by a Martin twin is just hilarious. Like, that's
Like,
just so funny.
then Drew Holiday, you are under surveillance, man.
That was all-time fist running down the legs.
I mean, Drew Holiday, you got not only punked by the man who said he takes the season off. I can see why he takes the season off now. Came into game four. Giannis came back, by the way, in this game. This where now the first three games I don't really care for because Giannis missed all of them.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, the game that ended up winning by 25 points is the one Giannis missed.
Because they hit every three.
Right,
We've got
it was
three.
beautiful ball movement. Everybody was making their threes. Everybody was jump shooting. Home crowd was cooking. Okay, game
Yeah.
three came. Miami dominates them. Not too surprised.
Game
Game
four, though,
four
that
now.
was embarrassing.
Giannis comes back. All right, now we expect Milwaukee to kind of exert themselves, and they did for the first three quarters. I think they were up by 16, 17. And then Jimmy Butler, who was the only player, by the way, doing good for Miami at the time, essentially. Him and Caleb Martin decided we're not losing.
They
And
said
then
two and five.
what is my issue with Giannis is, right? You've been in the how many years have you been in the league now? Eight, nine?
He's been in
Nine
the league
now?
for 10. Got
Ten.
drafted in
Holy.
2013.
10 years. Bro, you gotta develop some jump shot.
Post mid-range like post game. Like, even AD, he can't shoot threes anymore, but
But mid he
he could,
falls.
yeah, he could though. He has some mid-range with semi consistent success.
Miami just simply loaded up in the paint and essentially said, you're going to shoot jump shots. If that is enough to completely mentally break your entire. It wasn't just even Giannis got taken out. It's like the whole team just vanished.
You know
Like
what's
everybody
crazy?
broke down.
Like,
What?
Giannis, outside of the restricted area of the season, was like shooting under 40%. Like, that was insane because last year it
Unacceptable.
was not like that. Like, I'm
Right.
pretty sure he was shooting like above league average or close to the league average, like
Well,
on mid-range shots.
why I feel like his shooting gets worse and worse every year.
Don't
His
know.
like
Like,
shooting
people always like see him shoot a three in preseason and make, and they're like, oh, it's over for the league. And then it never translates to the season.
It's the Ben
Like,
Simmons kind of thing,
literally.
right? Off
It's a Ben
season.
Simmons
Yeah.
syndrome.
Like, no, he just sucks at that. And yes, it's on him to improve it.
I think he works on it, but it's just not.
Not hard enough.
I think mechanically his jump shot is just bad. Like,
You
it's
missed.
just bad.
We'll get to that, right? This is my issue with Bud, and rest in peace to his brother. So I'm not gonna be too harsh on him because let's be
Yeah,
honest, things like
that's
that can really
crazy.
take you out of your element. You're not really gonna
Yeah.
be focused
I mean,
on
you saw
something
with
like that.
Tyronn
It's
Lue, like,
right. Like it's a very difficult thing. It could completely take you out of your element. And really, I'm sure basketball was far from what that man was thinking about. But Brook Lopez was pretty solid that game
he was
too.
good. Yeah, he was.
You should have ran some post-ups for him instead of just having Giannis endlessly dribble.
Especially when he's being guarded by Bam, who
Yeah. He
he
had
has the
to.
weight advantage and he has the height advantage over.
He just kept shooting turnarounds over Bam and he was getting him.
He was good all
And
series.
right.
He's probably their
Let
best
the
player.
guy, let the guy shoot the ball. He has far more touch than Giannis around the like from a shot perspective outside the paint. Give it to him in that structure. If you know Miami's not going to let Bam Giannis really get into the lane, get it to Brook Lopez, let him cook and force them to then adjust and then go back to your original playing style if you so desire. but zero adjustments. Then Jimmy Butler and by the way, Jimmy Butler, we know what he did. 56 in that game. He took over in the fourth quarter. By the way, I don't know where the guy, I don't know if he drinks something before the playoffs. I don't know why his 3-point jump shot all of a sudden goes in.
That's true. That's so fake.
This shit is all time trolling. That's, like this, this so is. I don't even know if it's fake. Like I can't
because he does that shit every year. So it's hard to say. It's
no.
I'm saying
his 3-point. His 3-point make is it's fake.
100%. It's insane. Like the guy took a step back on Jrue Holiday, and I just had a sick feeling it was going in. They're up by one, I think, and you know they got the ball back. That man doesn't even hesitate. Steps to 2-3 right in Jrue Holiday's face. I knew it was going in, and it went in. And I'm just looking out like, bruh, really? Jimmy Butler, the same guy shooting 19%, is shooting 60%.
Yeah, the dude's in a troll. I don't even see him. Has he been a rogue season? In the rogue season, I'd never hear.
No,
shoot.
He never ever.
The last
done
time it. Jimmy Butler shot a respectable 3-point percentage was like 2019.
Like Minnesota's second year, before
and that was like before, because when he got traded to the Sixers, he had like a wrist injury. Like after that wrist injury, he has not been a good shooter in the regular season. And fucking postseason comes around, and then boom, we just got this nigga shooting 50% from three. I don't know how.
And Caleb Martin decides, okay, I'm gonna be a co-star. And just busted their heads open as well with some big shots. And
getting
some of his 3-point shots
Kyle
were insane.
Lowry as well. Like, I'm
done.
Offensively, you couldn't create any advantages. Even though you have plenty of options to attack Miami's defense, by the way. It hasn't even been good that year compared to their usual respectable value. You know, they're not their usual top two.
You have Middleton,
you know.
You have Giannis, you have fucking Jrue Holiday, who's supposed to be a fucking all-star.
And then
clearly.
Brooke Lopez, who's having the series of his life, essentially, on top of that. So, you know, and not to excuse Giannis, right? Because at the end of the day, it's his own fault. You know, you're the best player in the world. It's about time you hit a shot, you know? And then turnovers, too. Was it Jrue who turned it over when they were down by, like, or it was tied or they were down by one? Somebody turned that ball right over.
Jrue was turning it over. Giannis was turning the ball over a lot.
Yeah.
No, Giannis almost turned the ball over, but Milton saved the ball. You know when he didn't want to shoot free throws?
Yeah.
And Milwaukee's defense has always been one of the worst when it comes to protecting the 3-point line. Like, they've just always been bad at it.
Bro, they live with the percentages. They live with the percentages, basically.
Bro, if you're watching Jimmy Butler just all of a sudden out of the fucking blue hitting fucking threes. Even if it's fake or not, whatever. As a coach, do you not think, okay, maybe I have to change something? Maybe, I, obviously, he's going through some shit, so I don't really want to get on him that much, but
he did coach a bad series.
Yeah. Never double Jimmy Butler. I get his Jrue Holiday, right? But the guy's getting dogged. And that, I'm putting that as nice as possible.
I'm doubling or boxing one. Like, something got to happen.
Bro, the guy almost had 100 points in two games. Like, bro, you got to double.
Yeah,
you got to double. You got to double when they run a pick and roll. You got to trap. Whatever you got to do, if fucking Cody Martin hits shots for three games in a row, that's how you lose. You just got to live with that shit.
But the thing is, right? Milwaukee just never guards the 3-point line. It's just something they don't do. They will give you that shot.
Bro, they were playing drop coverage on Kevin Durant. That's why they almost lost.
Like, that's just how they live. That's their style.
Yeah.
And when you look at this shot chart, right? So, Miami, right? In the series against Milwaukee, they did not shoot anywhere on the floor. They shot minus 10. So, in the red, that's negative 10 below league average. None on the floor. Beautiful. This is one of the most beautiful shot charts I've ever seen in my life. They, across the entire 3-point line, they shot 10% higher than league average. Every spot of the floor on the 3-point line. They shot 50% left corners, 52% right corners, and 43% everywhere else, 44%. And then they shot 70% at the rim on top of that. And they were also plus 10 above average in the paint and restricted area.
That's
so the things you don't want to happen in today's NBA, which is don't allow easy layups and don't allow open threes, is the shit you allow to happen. And that is why you're home in 5 games as the best team in the NBA.
That was crazy. Game 5 was even worse. That was all time.
Bro, it was a meltdown.
They're up by 16 with like 8 minutes left.
And not then, even that, just up four.
Oh my god!
Less than 20 seconds left. You don't.
Why
foul.
Didn't he foul?
No, why that no, that makes sense because I think Gabe Vincent like took a low ball three with 10 seconds left. So I mean, it's a little early to foul.
I wouldn't even let him get the shot off.
But so also, Middleton for whatever reason was sagging backwards. I don't know why.
Just nope. I would have fouled.
At the very least,
I'm not taking my best rim protector out when they have fucking like 2 seconds in fucking inbound the ball. I'm not doing that. Miami has run that same fucking stupid ass Jimmy Butler lob play, I think a billion times this season, and somehow it works every time. I don't get how.
Because teams go to like right. Watch the rim. And they're so scared of the three-point line. They're so scared to death of losing from a three-ball. And I don't blame him based off the way Miami was shooting. That they just allowed a freebie at the hoop. And yes, Jimmy did technically push off. But when you shoot 28 more free throws than the other team, you don't really get to whine about.
I think that's the reason why Lopez wasn't in the game. Because like, what if they allowed three?
Guarding? It doesn't matter. Whether he was on the court or not, you're allowing threes anyway. So might as well protect the rim and have someone who could block. Because Brook Lopez could have blocked that shot. You know, even if Jimmy pushed off, he's tall enough to get in the play.
Yeah.
So and then the worst part about it, all of that is Giannis missed what, 12 free throws in regulation?
Yeah.
13.
13 in regulation. Some of them wasn't overtime. But I know he missed a high amount in regulation, which is, you know, again, what I said, embarrassing. It was deja vu. I could have swore. The only difference was the court was different. You know, the court they were playing on. But I swear I was watching the same thing happen in the fourth quarter, except for there was no Caleb Martin cooking this time, right? It was just Jimmy Butler himself this time. He said, I got it. And then obviously Gabe and Kevin Love had some.
So you saw that clip where it was like 2 minutes left. He were down six, and he pointed to Drew Holiday saying, I own
you. Yeah. You got to love that.
That's crazy, man.
And then ended up owning him. That's the crazy thing. It's just, I don't, you watch Giannis dribble. And you know, the thing that made me more, game four, I get
what?
It. Game five, Chris Middleton was having a sensational game.
Okay, good game.
Why is he not holding the ball? Because at least if he gets fouled, right, and he's the one drawing fouls, he's going to make the free throw. Nope, take the ball out of Chris Middleton's hand. Take the ball out of Chris Middleton's hand. It makes no sense. And, you know, and I don't want to, you know, the thing that made me a little bit mad is, and over time, a lot of people try to criticize Bud for not calling timeout, but it was Giannis in transition against a non-set defense. So I have no issues with not calling time there.
I'm calling timeout when Grayson Allen has the ball.
But the thing is, that's too late at that point, right? Like, it's, I think it's what, 1 second is pretty hard to get a ref's attention in that time frame.
I know, but why didn't Middleton shoot
Grayson the shot? Just shoot the ball. You're a three-point shooter. That's what you're on the team for. Why are you pumping? He had a little mid-range space. Yeah. Exactly. So he did. He pump fake. He had space in the mid-range, but for whatever reason, he drove. Just shoot it. It's your job to shoot. Shoot the ball. I've never seen. And hey, by the way, I just watched the Timberwolves choking game five and meltdown. I've never seen a meltdown of this caliber. And I've seen a lot where a team is veteran.
This is all time bad.
0.5 seconds left. Bad. Not a single player on the court said timeout. Not a single one.
Yeah.
Not one. And then somehow, some way, you know, props to Giannis for his answer post game. But, you know, I'm not going to lie, that was a bad question. Obviously, it's a failure. I don't know why you're asking a question like that. But that answer getting applauded is funny to me. I'm sorry. It's funny.
We got some of the biggest losers across the world referencing that quote.
Sure, I know, but
cool. That's the call music from the Timberwolves. They got eliminated.
I know, but you gotta cool. Think about it. Like, the same guy asked the question last year. So obviously he's going to be mad.
Right.
So obviously he's going to, like, say something.
But yeah, it's a failure, bro. Like, come on.
Right. I don't have an issue with Giannis' answer, right? I think Loki was trying to cook, but he decided to be professional about it a little bit.
Yeah, he was like, I don't want to get personal.
Right, so he decided to be professional and took the professional route, which I respect that. Because it really is a bad question, because obviously it's a failure. You don't need to ask something like that. But Nike
trying to spin right. that into like...
Yeah, that's not a good
thing. I've seen that.
I'm sorry, that's just ridiculous.
You lost 4-1 to the AC in Europe by double digits back-to-back games and got smoked. Let's not praise that, please. That's embarrassing.
Lost in 5 games to the 8 seed, like...
And the guy who's getting paid $40 million next year, Drew Holiday, looked worse than everybody on the court. He looked worse than podcaster Duncan Robinson.
He was Bro, he looked worse. I don't think Bledsoe has even had fucking that bad of a series.
It's embarrassing. You know, Drew has always been kind of overrated, his playoff performance. Bro, I don't think I've ever been impressed, like, really by a playoff series from him.
Bledsoe was horrible in the bubble. That's worse.
The Blazers. Not Bledsoe, sorry. Holiday. Since you remember the Blazers when they swept the when the Pelicans swept the Blazers.
Yeah.
That was a series where I thought he was sensational. And since then, I haven't felt that. I guess but the finals, I guess so, too. He had a two-way. I wouldn't say
he was. He was playing good defense, but his offense was terrible. Like, right. Bro, Drew Holiday probably had a series, like, it's the Heat. Then, like, bro, even Bledsoe was not that bad. Like, that was insane.
Yes, he was in the bubble. He was bad like that.
Again, no one's expecting Bledsoe to play on the level of Drew Holiday. You know what I'm saying? Like, but they warned me. High expectations, you know.
That's crazy because they warned me. They said Drew always had a playoff drop. His stats go down in the playoffs. That's what they told me last year, the year before. We should have seen this coming. Because last year he wasn't that good either. Remember the Celtics series?
Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't. He hasn't had a good offensive postseason.
In a while.
But congrats to Jimmy Butler.
Even when he won a championship. Even when he won a championship, he was
he was good defensively. He was elite defensively, but his offense was really bad. It was Chris Middleton who stepped it up on that end, with Giannis. But again, congratulations to Miami. Somehow, some way they keep doing this. I don't know. Maybe heat culture is a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm just a hater. That could be the case that Miami heat culture is genuine. It just has some way of unlocking when it counts. But all of that could be ended by the New York Knicks, who they just had I'll say this was the second most shocking probably series in the first round.
Yeah, I had Cavs in six.
This was a demo. Knicks cooked them. I don't know how else to put it.
And in five as well.
I had the Cavs in seven.
Was it a 5-game series?
Yeah. Yep. Knicks packed them up in five games.
Terrible. Evan Mobley really got to fucking develop a jump shot, bro. Like,
this was a stinker on offense from both teams. Both teams were terrible on offense. Neither team averaged 100 the whole series, by the way. Both teams were below 100 the whole series. This is 80s basketball. If you liked it, that is fine.
Wait till Miami and New York. That's going to be the exact same thing.
The story of this series, right? And I just want you guys to know two stats that will highlight how much of a failure this postseason was for the bigs in Cleveland. Mitchell Robinson had the same amount of offensive rebounds as Mobley and Allen combined.
Didn't Josh Hart have like rebounds than like in the last game?
Three Knicks players, Robinson, Hart, and Hartenstein, had more offensive rebounds than the entire Cavs team combined.
That's just amazing, man. You,
bro.
The Cavs committed to their two big philosophy. Couple years ago,
Jared, yeah, that's crazy.
And Jared Allen, first of all,
he's a mid rebounder. He's a mid rebounder.
Ass rebounder. He's a good finisher, but can't space the floor. And then you have two bigs that can't space the floor. It's gonna get ugly. And then you have a wing that can't shoot. It's going to get very ugly.
And no bench, by the way. On top of that,
no bench. Yeah. No,
actually, I've seen this coming.
It's crazy that they bought out Kevin Love. He's actually kind of playing well.
Yeah.
They needed front court shooting badly, and they just straight up.
And you know what's funny about the series is, right? What? You know, and as the NBA gears towards its offensive, it has been geared towards offensive, all the top defensive teams have essentially been eliminated. And Cleveland obviously was the number one defense.
And
besides the Lakers,
they got eliminated. Grizzlies got eliminated.
Wolves were at number 10. They got eliminated. Yeah, I think the Lakers are the only ones left standing, and maybe a couple others. But
Sixers,
Sixers too. But Boston. You look at New York's shot chart for least. You remember how I talked about how beautiful Miami's was?
Yeah.
The Knicks shot -10 compared to league average. Every single place on the floor except for the paint. Every place on the court except for the paint.
Yeah, that was bro. Mobley and Jared Allen had terrible series.
So. The very place you would have thought they would actually show up really bad in, the place they did at average in, that's the place they did the best in as a team. They dominated on the glass. Julius Randle with 1 foot was overpowering Mobley. Nobody, by the way, no star player on either series had a good series, I would say. Even Brunson, he shot pretty poorly.
No, he had a game.
Mitchell was fucking terrible.
And Mitchell after game one was non-existent.
I would say after game two, he was just fucking terrible. And
Darius Garland only had one good game the whole series.
Brunson played good. Brunson played good most.
You know, if you look at Garland, did shoot significantly better than Mitchell though. When you look at it, but regardless, I mean, four turnovers and five assists from your point guard is unacceptable.
Yeah,
it's just your offense let you down. I don't know how else to put it. It was never a defense that let them down. Neither team can look at the series and think their defense was a concern. It was both teams' offenses were porous.
I said a while ago, they traded for Caris LeVert. I'm like, I don't like the trade. He's not that good. They could have used somebody else. They could have used like Eric Gordon or something. A shooter, somebody that create their own shot. Nope. Like Caris LeVert, no offensive touch. I don't know fucking why. Mobley, fucking terrible. He's a play finisher with like a 50 true shooting for the series.
Unacceptable. Yeah, like that's he had a nightmare of a series.
And you know what the coach did? The coach thought putting LeVert and taking out Okoro was going to help them, and it didn't help them because LeVert
didn't help that at all.
Started.
Yeah, exactly. But logically, I get the point, right? You're trying to put in someone who actually can shoot, right?
Semi shoot. He's right? A semi offensive threat.
And he had a good game too. Other than that, I think he had another good game there. But he shot 36%.
They got Danny Green on their roster, and they're not playing him. And you need shooting on the wings, and you're not getting it from anyone. Danny Green's on your team.
Right. You know, it's just offensive disaster class there for Cleveland. They weren't able, and props to the Knicks as well. Props to Josh Hart. He hounded Mitchell all series. New York's plan was quite simple. Take Donovan Mitchell out the game, and the rest would figure itself out. And they put their best defender, Josh Hart, there. RJ had a really good series on defense as well. As bad as Julius Randle was on offense, which, by the way, is very, 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 very bad, at least he was good on defense. You know, he did his job on that end. Not like it was hard for him, to be fair, but he still did. And then Mitchell Robinson, you can't speak enough about how big he was for them.
Their bigs, Robinson
and both Hartenstein, you know, both of them.
Some of their bench players, like Obi Toppin, was having a couple he was hounding the fucking glass.
Rotation. Davis has a nice rotation. A lot of tryhards for a coach who likes that stuff. So
a lot of tryhards, a lot of athletic players.
You know, that's what you want. You know.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. So before the series, how come y'all picked Cavs? And if we seen the Cavs flaws and we didn't really pay attention to it,
I didn't think Mitchell would have a bad series. I expected Garland to be asked. To be honest, I did expect that. I didn't think they get fucking punked on the glass. That's another thing. That was insane.
Exactly. Swish. I for the love of me, I did not think that the top defense with 2 7-footers. Would be abused like that. I gotta give more credit to Mitchell Robinson. Julius Randle on one leg and Isaiah and Josh Hart, they punked him.
Obi Toppin as well. Really just got punked by like four players.
I did think the Knicks and Cavs had the Cavs at seven, so it was a 50-50 toss up to me. But I didn't think it'd be a domination where Knicks just dominated the series.
I think one for me because I didn't see the Cavs flaws, but now I see them more. But like before the series, I didn't know they had all those flaws. If they had all those flaws before, I would have picked the Knicks. But
I was wrong. They were kind of mid offensively because, as Feliz said, there's just no shooting, no spacing. They're essentially relying on two guys to make tough shots.
I think the Cavs they're heading in a good direction. I mean, most of their core is young, so they shouldn't really be fretting that much. I see that they for sure need to add a fucking wing that can shoot and defend. They need like an Okoro that can legitimately shoot the ball. Mobley has to fucking develop his jump shot. Like this is is why I said at the beginning of the season. I said before the season even started, I'm like, if Mobley does not develop a jump shot, this shit is gonna get ugly. And it got ugly. They need to add bench depth because that shit is ridiculous. Yeah. Their bench was awful.
But how do you do that? That's the question, right? I just don't see a feasible way this summer they could do any of that.
I mean,
they don't even have their pick, do they, this year? Doesn't Utah win it?
Yeah, but it's like a pick anyways. It's like
a it'd be trash, but again, that's a way you could get lucky and add one. Or you know, obviously having that capital, you could trade it. But go ahead, switch.
Y'all think it's trade Jared Allen and put Mobley at the five?
Nah, Mobley's not lasting at the center. I'm not even gonna lie to you. All right, Julius Randle, do you see what Julius Randle did to him?
I think they gotta
because someone said that on Twitter. Someone said they gotta trade Jared Allen and put Mobley at the five and get a wing defender.
You can't have that.
Omar, they can easily add like a good wing player. They don't have that Caris LeVert $18 million on their books next year.
Is somebody else gonna take that spot?
They could probably give someone an MLE. They don't have to pay Kevin Love like $28 million next year.
Hey, so what about this? What about Dylan Brooks?
Hell, right, what? That's a Okoro. That's a Okoro.
That's just 6'7" Okoro with like a thug.
Literally 6'7" Okoro who's just gonna talk up some he can't defend. So you don't want that guy.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they don't really have most of their draft picks anymore.
Who would it be though? Dylan, is there even anyone?
No.
But we'll get to that. But eventually,
Dylan Brooks is the better offensive player than Okoro. Stop.
I mean, it's not
so. They're both mid, but still.
I mean, Dylan Brooks definitely shot chucks more. I wouldn't say he's better though.
I could easily find like the average like wing player that they could sign.
Torian Prince.
Torian Brown Jr.
Torian Prince trade.
I mean,
they could really actually use like a player like that. I'm not even gonna lie, but
they could use like a Lonnie Walker. I'm just thinking like, hold on, I'm just looking.
Oh no, Lonnie Walker! That backcourt is gonna be horrible. Lonnie Walker, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell.
They could use. I lied.
This is be doubtful.
Herbert Jones is a... I lied.
They're not letting him leave.
That would be a good pickup, though, because he's not a bad shooter. He's like a...
Right, he
can actually space the use, goal. Maybe they could use, like, a Jalen McDaniels. Even though the Sixers have bird rights on him. Maybe they could use a Kenyon Martin in the trade. We do have a lot... We're going to have a lot of wings.
So, okay, so...
The Cavs need to fix that wing spot.
But, yeah, Cleveland... The offense is a mess. We'll be interested to see how they fix it up.
That's their problem. That's not my pay grade. I'm not their GM. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not getting paid $5-6 million a year to figure it out. But certainly that's an issue that needs to be solved ASAP. Because this was one of the most nastiest shit I had to watch on my television, in quite some time. And props to the Knicks for making them play such ugly basketball and with their second star player having one leg. All right, I don't even think we need to waste too much time on this series because everybody and their mama knew what was going to happen. Philadelphia swept the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think anything
would be surprised. That was like the most. I thought the Nets would win like some random shooting leg game, but they didn't even do that. That's
32% from three. 32% from three.
Their best chance to win was game three, and they lost it. So.
Yeah, game four probably.
Game four, they were down. Without Embiid.
Game three and four, they had a puncher's chance of winning both of those games, and they fucking.
Game three, they actually had a decent chance, but they let Maxi go on a 7-0 run to game him.
Yeah.
They let Maxi close them out, and then game four, they just got fucking punked by Paul Reed.
32% shooting by wings and shooters.
They got the fucking Paul Reed hammer all four games. That is embarrassing.
They let Philadelphia shoot 40% for three. Though Phillies was a good 3-point shooting team.
Bro, they got cooked by Tobias Harris. They got cooked by Maxi for a couple games. Harden couldn't even finish a fucking layup, and they got swept. Embiid was getting double teamed.
I mean, let's look at Mikal Bridges, ladies and gentlemen. Superstar Bridges. He actually had a decent series.
He had a decent series, but like a lot of those games, he was on like he was like not doing shins like I have.
He had a bad field goal.
You know, Brooklyn actually got what they wanted in the mid-range, which I'm not too surprised about. But again, the 3-point shooting was very disappointing for Brooklyn, for a team that literally is built on wings that could shoot and space the floor.
I don't understand their defensive strategy. Like, Jack Vaughn, some people were hyping up. Like, once you see after game one that the scheme they're trying to run isn't working, I mean, it's limiting Embiid, but you're giving, like, that shooting team. Sixers were the number one team in 3-point percentage last season.
And they shot 41%?
They shot 41% in the series?
Yep.
Yeah, like, It's not surprising. You're giving Tobias. You're giving these players that once they get in rhythm, they're not missing. You're giving all these like Tobias, Maxey. I almost said PJ Tucker, but I'm not gonna do that. You're giving Harden wide open ass threes. Giving
Melton
open ass threes. Giving people like Niang open ass threes. Literally, the only thing you can do on the basketball court is shoot threes. I don't understand. You're giving a good shooting team wide open threes. Why the fuck do you continue running the scheme?
I would just let Embiid put 1-on-1, to be honest. But they didn't do that.
I mean, to be fair, their defense overall was pretty solid. I mean, it's not like Philadelphia was putting up 120 on them.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers did have a lot of games where they just weren't shooting the ball well. Besides, like,
yeah.
They shot the shit out of the ball in game one, and then 2, 3, and 4 was kind of like on and off.
You know, so
but they had good looks though.
What did I say, Felice, before? I said when you're relying on Dinwiddie to create for you, is gonna be bad.
He's horrible.
When time counts,
he's really bad. Kyle Kuzma was really right about him. He is fucking
Brooklyn
shit.
Brooklyn Nets average. How do you average 92 points in today's era in a playoff series per game?
He is horrible.
No creators. Guys missing open threes. And then, really relying on Cam Johnson masterclasses to even be close.
Yeah, like
is a disaster. And then Cam Thomas gets no minutes for whatever reason. I don't understand why.
And then when he did get the minutes, like. Probably he's rusty as shit because he doesn't actually play basketball. It's like he's just chucking up shots and missing.
And then it's like
what else do you expect? He hasn't played an actual basketball game in like fucking 3 weeks. Like a month or some shit.
He's already better than Dinwiddie. Like in terms of, I trust Cam Thomas more to create a better shot.
If I was the Nets this offseason, I would not make a big splash for like him or whatever the fuck. I would trade some of these veterans. I would probably play Cam Thomas some more. I don't know what the fuck you do with Simmons. You're gonna have to hold that. That contract, you're just gonna have to hold it. Like you made your bed with I would trade like veterans and then try to add an actual fucking playmaker. I don't know who.
Bro, especially if you're starting point guard, bro, you need to reactivate your team.
I'm trying to think like who's like a decent point. It's like feasible.
Dennis Schroeder?
Maybe Dennis Smith Jr. That could be like a low.
What about Schroeder? Your free agent.
Yeah, that's another one. But I feel like he's just gonna re-sign with the Lakers, honestly. Like
yeah, probably.
The bot. He's gonna re-sign. Maybe somebody like, I don't even know, brother. The market for point guards this year is not good.
Yeah, there's not really much out there. I guess Tyus Jones is maybe one of the better options.
Yeah, Tyus Jones, he's not a free agent. You got to trade for him.
My bad. Wait, is he he got re-signed last summer, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm tweaking.
Grizz did not trade him.
So. I think they should because he was not good.
But he's worth a lot of money, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like 14 million. He wasn't good in the postseason.
He's still a good player, though.
They could try to pick up, like, Patrick Beverley or something. I don't know.
Nah, he's coming back home.
All right. He wants to get paid, by the way. He wants to legitimately get paid. He wants to get paid, like, 15 mil or something.
Yeah, we gotta give that to us. We don't got money like that.
Yeah, true.
But this series came down to simple things. Embiid, Harden got double tripled. They made the right reads. Philadelphia hit their shots. Brooklyn, on the other hand, they had to rely on Spencer Dinwiddie. And even if they did create good looks, Joe Harris, nobody was hitting their shots.
Shout out to Tobias Harris, man.
Tobias Harris was probably the best Sixers player of the series.
I said Joe Harris.
Yeah,
lucky. Oh, yeah, Joe Harris. He was an underrated Sixer this series. Yeah. I mean, wow.
Just disgusting shooting from Brooklyn, which is the team that thought that would be their key to keeping it close here. Defensively wasn't too bad, but the issue was their offense, which was a concern, was bad. And to be fair, as much as people thought props to Mikal Bridges, he had a decent series. They've been bad since Kevin Durant, Kyrie left. Not to anyone's shock, but to anyone who thought they had a genuine chance all of a sudden. No, I'm sorry to tell you, it was
gonna. That's funny. They're the only team to get swept this year again.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing this year. I'm not like, you know, that's an expectation.
I know. I'm just saying.
Last year was kind of embarrassing. All right, the next series. By the way,
go ahead. Embiid, Shams just tweeted this out like 8 minutes ago. He said that it's considered more serious than grade one LCL sprain. I don't know what's going on, bro. I feel like they're just trolling us.
Yeah, Embiid's out. Which we'll get to that series soon. Boston, Atlanta. I'm shocked they went to six. I won't lie, but props to Trae Young. That had to be one of the better probably the best shot I've seen this year in the playoffs.
That game five by Trae Young was that was cold.
Comeback now, but essentially this series was a track meet, which we kind of expected in a way. But DeJounte Murray, after what they paid up for you to have that kind of game six, that was
really course. It was like one of the highest scoring series because I feel like both teams scored a lot.
Yeah, Boston wasn't really defending well, which was kind of a shock. But they were giving up open, especially in Atlanta, because in the first two games they kind of like dominated. It wasn't relatively close. They looked like the team of last year. But I mean, they allowed Atlanta to drop 120 points in four consecutive games after the first two games. You know, Atlanta turned it.
It's funny because on Twitter, like most people will be winning bets off that game. Like, that's a good game to bet on because there'd be a lot of scoring with Hawks.
Right. That's like bombs away over in Atlanta. It's insane. But there are a lot of open shots generated off Trae Young. I mean, as much as people try to clown him after his first two games, he was really, really good after that point in time. Generating good looks. John Collins had some really good games. Boston was going to lose the series, but because Atlanta, again, their defense, we know already their defensive concerns. But on top of that, I just knew it was a tough hill climb for. I thought Boston in five personally, but Atlanta, you know, props to them. They took him down to the wire in game six as well. And, you know, props to them. They made it closer than I thought they would. But I'm concerned about Boston going forward, though. Because.
You are?
What? Yeah, because that defense was unacceptable. It was easy for Atlanta at point. I mean, they dropped 130. That's as in regulation. That's easy. That's as easy as it gets.
What game five? Was it game five? Game four?
Game three. They dropped the game they won. They dropped 130. They dropped 121 in game four, which is still a very good number. They just allowed Boston to get 129. And Philadelphia obviously is way better defensive team than Atlanta, and they also have the leading scorer. They also have James Harden, who could pick you apart. And they also have better shooting than Atlanta does. So they're just better.
Yeah,
and
can but
take more advantage, you know?
If you replace Embiid, Hawks' offense is better.
Yes, but okay, that is true. Embiid probably, as Felice just mentioned, is going to be out. But if he does play and he can give you, for game one, if he can give you 80% of himself, I think Boston's in trouble. I'm concerned about the fact this open looks, I mean, Bogdanović torched him in the first half of game three because he just had every look he wanted, essentially. And it was simply through dribble penetration. They struggled to stop the pick and roll. Trae got to the spots and drew his fouls. After really game one and game two, as I said, it seemed way too easy for Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm worried about their defense. You have a point. I'm worried about their defense. The defense was definitely suspect.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the same way Atlanta took advantage of Boston, I don't see why Harden, and obviously I'm not trying to say Harden has been on Trae's level in terms of scoring in the last two seasons or so, but he could still definitely kill you in the pick and roll, especially when his pick and roll partner is Embiid. And they've been a prolific duo in the pick and roll this year. So on top of that, it's just heightened defensive responsibilities, and I'm concerned for Boston that you're not going to be able to have a shootout with Philadelphia when they have the defenders they have. You know, they're going to be able to lock down if they have to, you know. But that's not always the case. So
I thought they were getting swept. So give credit to the Hawks. They won two games. I thought they were going to get swept. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right. But, yeah, impressive. The moment it turned around to Atlanta, I was impressed with the offensive display. But Boston, again, they were impressive offensive. Credit to Boston. They were great offensively as well. So not to take away anything from them. They generate a lot of good looks.
If you look at the Derek games White
this year, has been phenomenal. Yeah. That's probably one of the best trades in at the deadline, under the radar trade at the deadline last year. He's been phenomenal. But I mean, was anybody shocked Boston would get what they wanted against Atlanta? No,
I wasn't surprised. No,
right. So this is Tatum, though. Again, that's another concerning aspect. He's been average and inconsistent, to say the least. Very inconsistent.
Sixers defense is good, but they have no one to stop Tatum, so it's gonna be bad. Or Brown, to be honest, but we'll see.
Are you gonna throw Tucker on one of them? You know, throw
Jaylen. Yeah, cardio Tucker. Height. I'm sure.
Yeah, cardio. Well, I mean, who else in Philly?
Bro, the Sixers bias? Are losing in like four, bro. It is what it is.
How are you giving up so soon? Did you not just see some of the things we've seen Atlanta do? You don't think Philadelphia can replicate it?
That is true.
You don't think so, Felice? You don't think Philly can replicate some of this stuff?
Hell no.
Damn.
Doc Rivers is not, like, I'm sorry. Like, I knew at the trade deadline the Sixers team was only in the second round. Like,
hey, Quinn Snyder did cook. Respect to Quinn Snyder. He came in and had a nice game plan against Boston set up. All Doc Rivers really has to do is follow exactly what he did, like literally. Don't go off script, and they'll find themselves scoring a lot against Boston. And obviously, Atlanta didn't have the added pleasure of having a dominant post player like Embiid, so that's another aspect Philadelphia could take advantage of. So, all right.
No, Boston has some flaws. They have some flaws, so they can definitely take advantage of it.
They sure do. All right, Denver. Beat Minnesota in 5 games. Do you even have to talk about the series? You know?
I haven't talked much about it.
But other than game one, I'm not going to lie, that was a pretty good series other than game one. Every game was pretty close.
Y'all made it competitive after game one, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Anthony Edwards, first and foremost, Jamal Murray is back. That's the first thing I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
He was sensational. Some of the shots he was hitting was just like, what the hell? Take it easy, bro. Denver's offense was kind of locked down for the most part. If you look at, they had two really good games in a row. But other than that, Minnesota did an effectively good job. But
they hold you up, too. Their defense is really good.
Exactly. And their defense really locked Minnesota. Although I don't think that's hard to lock Minnesota down, to be fair. Anthony Edwards had a great series. We've seen that he was able to get whatever he wanted against Jokic, which, again, is a concern. They play tonight. That is a concern for me going into next series against Phoenix on how they're going to defend and watch some of those looks with how easy it was for Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves to attack. But obviously, Timberwolves don't have – no, I said before, the Timberwolves coaching staff is bad, not on the level of Denver. And we saw some of that, you know, cat post-ups, a lot of cat post-ups that weren't working, but they kept forcing it despite it not working. A lack of just letting Anthony Edwards dominate the ball and run pick and rolls with Rudy and just attack, attack, attack. I feel like he only did that whenever the team couldn't score and went down by 9 and 10, and then Anthony Edwards had to backpack and bring the team back in the game. Obviously, the Timberwolves, they're I don't want to use Jaden as an excuse just because, like, you know, it's his own fault. You broke your own hand. But obviously, having him to guard Jamal Murray would have been massive. When your best defender's out, it hurts you bad. Nas Reed's the best bench scorer being out and having a terrible bench come in every game and essentially sell it away because no one could score on the bench. So, I mean, injuries really did end up affecting Minnesota and I think instead of it being a 7-game, 6-game series, those injuries really kind of killed a lot of hope for the team, especially with how poor Cat was in the first 3 games or so. He stepped it up in the last 2, I'll give him that, but the first 3 games is terrible. But kind of self-explanatory. First seed, better team, healthy, got the job
honestly,
done.
Bro, like, if Carl Anthony Towns didn't have such a fucking shit series, like, y'all could have. I'm not going to say you would have won the series, but it would have been more competitive.
Right, right. And, you know, so again, that's coaching, right? I mean, it took Chris Finch 5 games to realize Cat is better face-up.
It took him, like, 3 games to come up with a game plan to stop Jokic. Like, Jokic in game, what was it, 5? Like, he was 8 of 4, like, 29?
Yeah, 8 of 29.
That was the worst I ever seen him shoot ever.
Yeah, Cat really locked them down. Cat and Rudy just stop. Doubled them. It was Cat. What do you mean stop? That was the game plan.
Let Cat they both fouled out. And Jokic still fouled both of them out.
Yeah, but I mean, he's 8 for 29. That's my point.
Yeah, no. But they did give him foul trouble.
I mean, yeah, because Jokic flailed. It was big as hell flailing, and they giving him a call. But yeah, no, I think having Cat guard him and Rudy help was probably the right decision for the most part. Although I thought there were moments where when Cat had 3-4 fouls, you just can't have him guard Jokic anymore. You have to let Rudy guard him. Because Cat, I think, tends to make dumber fouls than Rudy would typically. Rudy's not typically going to give you that brain dead foul where you're like, okay, come on, don't do that. I mean,
Omar,
yeah.
I'll give y'all this. Like, if y'all had Jerry McGarry, it would be a big key because, like, he would stop Jamal Murray. He's not going to go crazy like that if Jaden McGarry was on the court. So he's not having those 40-point games, 35-point games. So y'all would definitely want at least one more game, maybe even two.
That's my point, exactly. You know, him breaking his arm, I hope it taught him a lesson about him, how valuable he is to a team and why he shouldn't do something so brain dead ever again. And Cat, again, that's on the coach. It's so easy to blame Cat, and he deserves the blame for playing like trash, but Cat faced up the whole game, game five, and he was unguardable. It shouldn't take you as a head coach 5 games to realize what worked last year. You should just maybe do it, you know? Jaren Jackson could have stopped him last year when he was face up, you know, but no, we want to keep posting him up and having a guy with not so good IQ try to make tough reads out of a double in the corner. And the thing is, why are you posting up high in the corners? Like, that's the toughest place on the court to even see anything else going on. No logical coaching. It's just some of the worst coaching displays I've ever seen in my entire life. And he should be thankful that Jaden McDaniels did something like that, because he would be fired if the same damn thing happened with this just terrible game plan. He does not watch no damn film. He don't know what he's looking at. And we could have gotten a random to go out there and realize some of these adjustments quickly. And you probably win one more game with basic baby adjustments. Like, maybe stop posting up 230-pound Cat. That's so simple. He's 230 pounds. Why are you posting him up? At the corners? Not even at the top of the key, at the corners? Tell me, who wants someone posting up at the three-point line in the corners like they're going to make a nice pass cross-court to the other corner? This team should be thankful that Anthony Edwards just had one of the best series ever. At least the fans have that to go into the summer with.
Yeah.
Because that was a disgusting display of coaching.
He should be fired, but he won't be.
Based off the way our GM was talking, Chris Finch will be back. So he better be a serious individual next year and realize, listen, either you tell Cat, hey, Cat, I want you to be 260 pounds again so you could post up. Or you tell him, no, you're playing face up the whole postseason, all year.
He doesn't post up no more. I'm surprised.
He posts him up all of game one to game five. And all Cat did is turn it over, because obviously he can't back down nobody. He's 30. Like, people are like, Cat is a set. Bro, he weighs less than Anthony Edwards.
Oh, he's lighter, huh? He lost.
Yeah, exactly. Arm. Yeah, he weighs less than Anthony Edwards.
How much does he weigh?
Like 230 pounds.
Edwards, how much Edwards?
Like 240.
Edwards is not 240. Not even reaching it.
He is 240.
There's no way he is 240.
Dead serious.
Let me see.
You're telling me that you
he's 225.
Nah, he's two. He entered camp at like he entered the regular season at 240. That probably not updated.
They said Cat 248.
You see, that's definitely not updated. Cat was 230 this year entering the
regular season. He's 231. I just seen it. He's 231. Yeah,
you see, he's very, very light. So you can't have a guy like that posting up at the three-point line. Let me put it that way. And if you want someone to even post up far from the basket, you want to put him in the middle of the floor so they can see the court easy. Chris Finch needs to be serious. But regardless, this was an expectation. 1-8, injured 8 seed with no coach. Because Chris Finch might as well not have been there. And hopefully, since he's going to be back, I'll give him my support. And hopefully next season, he's going to be good and realize that he needs to make baby adjustments quickly and let Anthony Edwards cook. That should be the goal next year. Let Ant cook, and you'll win more games. All
right,
man.
Nah, that's crazy. You're right, Omar.
You know, that was sickening, man. I feel like just better coaching gives you at least one more win for sure. Yeah. I don't know if it gives you two more, but it gives you one more for sure.
Yeah. Ant is 235, and Tal is 231.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, so he weighs way less than Ant. Not way less, but you get my point. Like, Ant is a damn shooting guard, so it's one thing. Ant is a center, 7 feet tall, weighing 230. In his best year, he was 250, 260.
They say he lost pounds because of illness.
He got sick. He got hella sick. So this summer, I would really suggest Cat gets back to 250, 260 when he was unguardable. So he could post up. So the post up works, you know. And he doesn't have to foul. He can just, like, kind of easily knock him away.
I remember he was cooking AD with the post ups like 2 years ago. Or I think it was like 2021. Yeah. He was cooking AD.
It was post ups, yeah. It's because he was, you know, like, he used to be big. Now he's not, like, big anymore. That's the issue. Like, he's tall, but his frame is very, is kind of skinny now. Because he needs to bulk up and get back to himself.
So you're saying, like, you can get away with a 4 guarding Cat, or like a 3 guarding Cat, basically.
Exactly. Like, if he has weight, then you can't put a wing on him anymore. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
But if, obviously, someone, if he, 230 is too easy.
Someone said, if I'm guarding Cat, he will not post me up. I forgot. Someone said that. I don't know.
A random Twitter user who's sitting on their ass, never touched a ball in their life. You're not stopping Cat, bro. Cat will dunk on you, put his balls in your mouth with minimal effort, matter of fact. So I'm not going to take no damn Twitter user seriously when they're saying that. But
someone said, they said that if Drew Holiday was guarding Cat, Drew Holiday was locking that down, post up.
Drew Holiday would get dunked on, bro. I just seen Jimmy Butler tell that man he owned him.
Nah, bro. Drew Holiday's strong. That's one thing he is.
He's strong, big guard. But not strong as Cat.
You just said Cat lost like 40 pounds.
He did, but I'm saying now he could probably stop him. But again, you probably double team him because they put a wing on him and then they double team him. And then that's when Cat does those dumb passes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, next series. Felice, you had any thoughts on that series? Any extra thoughts?
You guys pretty much covered everything. Plus, I'm going to be honest, I only watched like 2 games of that series, so I can't really.
Did you see the Edwards 40 piece?
I watched game 5, and I believe it was game. I watched part of game 1. It's not like I didn't watch like the series like at all. Like, I watched parts of the games, but honestly, like, time zone was cooking me.
Isn't it at like 11 o'clock?
Yeah, time zones were cooking me, so I was not watching these games like fully.
Yeah, they were very late. It was pretty bad timing. But one thing I don't think the Timberwolves have to blow it up. They could keep what they have.
I think you just got to fire Chris Finch, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You got to fire him.
You got to fire Chris Finch. Karl-Anthony Towns has to like be serious. I'm not worried about Ant. I think Mike Conley is a good veteran point guard to have, so I don't really think.
Nikhil Walker was decent for y'all.
Like, I think you just got to fire. You got to fire the coach. Karl-Anthony Towns has to be serious in the offseason and come back like better because he has the ability to be like top 3 center in the NBA. He's just stupid. Like, I really can't like sugarcoat it.
That's right. Yeah, he has low IQ. Low basketball.
Really low IQ. And maybe you just, you know, try to add as much depth as you can. I don't know. Other than that, like, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the fun fact, the Conley, Jaden, Ant, Rudy, Cat starting lineup played 7 games. And Cat and Rudy played 38 games together all year. So yeah, too early, like, to blow anything up. So
you can't like just blow everything up when you legit like didn't get to evaluate like what you had.
And they look good. The final game of this game 5, where they got eliminated, Ant, Rudy, and Cat all had their good games together. Until Rudy kind of had a terrible ending to his game, but
and they had a good look to tie the game, so you can't do about it.
I mean, you know, I give Denver props. I didn't think they would look this good, but they looked very efficient, very good offensively, and obviously in spurts. But to be fair, they're playing a top 10 defense. And with Rudy on the floor, that top 10 goes to number 2. So they're not They weren't playing some huff defensive team. They were playing one of the best defensive teams in basketball. And yet they did enough to get the job done. So you got to
give someone tell me why.
Go ahead.
Can someone tell me why Frank Vogel is still not a coach? Like, he's generally a good coach. Like, I'm being serious.
I think his philosophy only works with, like, he's not really good with rebuilding teams. I mean, when he was in the Magic, they were fucking terrible, and they played terrible basketball.
Yeah.
He's only really good with, like, good or contending teams. There's not that many contending teams that genuinely, like...
The Timberwolves. I think he'd be good with the Timberwolves.
But yeah, I'm saying... right there. If I'm firing Chris Finch, I'm going for Nick Nurse.
Yeah, like, Nick Nurse is right there. So his philosophy only works with, like, a certain, like, roster construction. And I don't really think...
Like the Lakers, 2020?
Yeah. Like, you got to have a certain roster construction. I don't think Vogel will do a good job with the Timberwolves, honestly. Like, I just don't think, like, the personnel, like, matches, like, Vogel. He's not a very good offensive coach. That's another thing.
That is true.
You need, like, a creative mastermind like D'Antoni over in Minnesota, you know?
Vogel has never had, besides probably the Lakers years, like, he probably never coached a top 10 offense in his life.
Oh, yeah, we can't have Timberwolves need offense. Timberwolves offense was bottom 10 in the NBA.
Like, bro, you don't have to do shit with LeBron and AD. Just LeBron and AD pick and roll. Or, oh, LeBron's not playing. Or AD, you know, take over. Or AD's not playing. Oh, LeBron. Bro, you don't have to do shit. Like, you just got to hope they're fucking healthy. That's it. Like,
right.
He's not doing much coaching besides defense. Like,
I mean, look at Darren Ham. He's just getting bought.
And then they had like three other fucking.
He's better than Ham. He's better than Ham, though.
And then they had like three other like ball handlers / playmakers on the team. So it's like, you don't really have to do shit. He's not doing shit.
Right. And here, you know, offensive guru Chris Finch. Let me not even continue with this. All right, next series. Suns and Clippers. This one's so self-explanatory.
Yeah, I mean, injuries. Let's
keep it short, bro. Injuries.
All right, like.
Keep it short.
What else is there to say?
I mean, impressed by the Suns this series. I will say that.
Yeah, disgusting. I mean, they very unimpressed. Los Angeles barely beat him, and they're missing their two best players for four out of the.
All the games were close. All the games were like
three out of the five.
Absolutely embarrassing. Getting cooked inside the paint. Getting much rim pressure, took like a couple generational Devin Booker performances to win some of these games. You had to have KD bail you out, like
a disgusting
even Chris
whistle.
Paul had a fucking legacy game, like that was disgusting.
And the whistle, don't even get me started on the whistle they had in the
massive ass free throw advantage. Obviously Kawhi got injured, which is sad. He probably has like I'm pretty sure he has degenerative knees. And he probably has some form of arthritis, which is kind of sad because there's no way like he would be getting injured if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, his knees are cooked.
Yeah, his knees are cooked. I think Embiid probably has the same shit too, to be honest. But
Stephen A. Smith said he should retire.
That's kind of crazy. But yeah, I don't know what the Clippers are gonna do after this. They can't really rebuild.
You gotta run it back. Yeah, no choice.
Yeah, at least next year they gotta run it back for sure. I don't even think they own their pick next year, do they? You're gonna have to run it back next year, or maybe you trade one of Paul George or Kawhi for a more readily available star. I don't know. What I do know is this: what I took away from the series is Phoenix is in big trouble if they can think they're gonna get away with this defensive effort against the Denver Nuggets. Russell Westbrook
and Norman Powell
had fun. I mean, they got whatever they just had to. There's no perimeter defense, and we already spoke about that before, right? No perimeter defense. Then Batum just eats them up for lunch in Game 5 to end the game. And Clippers ended up losing anyway. But if players like that are having a field day with you, right? You can't even sit down and say, oh, you know, maybe they took role players lightly because Kawhi Leonard was getting whatever he wanted to. So.
He was.
It's horrific defense.
Kawhi was on pace to, like, lead the first round. And I mean, you had a fucking Devin Booker, and then you had that. He was on pace to average, like, 35.
Yeah, I averaged 35 in those two games, so, yeah.
Russell Westbrook had, essentially a 40-piece, right? Virtually. Was it 36 or 37? And some of the easiest shots, you'll see. I mean, he just pressures the rim and there's an easy man open because they have to help. Or nobody helps and it's just they get to attack Ayton. And you're not beating the Denver Nuggets. And yes, Denver Nuggets defense can be suspect, but certainly they looked far better than Denver did. Phoenix did in the first round. It's unacceptable. And I do think Denver has more defensive pieces to at least throw at their best players than vice versa here.
I think they have an advantage because, yeah, you're right. Because they have, I think they have more balanced scoring, and I think their defense is overall better.
Right, and props to Booker. He was absolutely phenomenal. He took advantage. He got what he wanted. You know, he looked ready to avenge what happened last year. KD's kind of self-explanatory. He played the same way. But it just makes Booker so much dangerous when KD's on the court and just the full attention's on him. It just Devin Booker
has stinky
whatever he wants. And yeah, exactly. The Phoenix Suns bench is bad.
You know, Devin Booker is playing
45 minutes a game.
They're gonna burn out.
Three minutes of rest. Like, come on, bro. Like, come on, bro.
It's so predictable. They're gonna run out.
Although the NBA did him a big favor, I think the gap between game two and game three is 4 days or something like that.
Yeah, that's insane. They're trying to sneak that in.
But low key, I think they get blown out tonight, Phoenix, just because, like, Mile High, the Denver air, and the fact that these guys play so much minutes.
Personally, I don't think they're winning both games in Denver, but that's just me. I don't think they win either.
It'll be like a 6, maybe 7-game series. But I'd probably, based on what I saw in the first round, I'll probably take the Nuggets.
I got Nuggets in 6 or so. Because, you know, the way to go out in Denver is you got to attack the rim a lot. And, you know, Phoenix is a very much so mid-range reliant team.
I think Lex Laxton said that they have the least attempt shots in the rim.
Tell they're really mid-range. Now, obviously, they could always adjust and decide to attack, but Booker is probably the only one I trust who could probably get to, because KD
he's only really
pressure in the rim since his
KD. Yeah, they got no
Booker,
really
yes.
pressure.
CP3, yeah. Hell no! Like, bro took like 10 shots at the rim this year. That's not happening.
Like 12.
Yeah, like come on, bro, and like he's just
not. He'll play the first 40 minutes a game.
You said what?
And they're playing the starts 40 minutes a game. That's just,
I mean,
this is
Booker and KD been playing 44 minutes a game, 45. So
and they need both of them to play really good to win, like 27 blocks by both of them.
Exactly. Basically. And they're gonna have to stay defensively sound. You gotta hope Ayton does his job on Jokic pretty well. I know he hasn't done a pretty solid job guarding him, but I certainly don't know if that'll continue.
You know, after the last meeting. He had 40, 11, and 12.
Right.
Jokic on Christmas.
So, I'm not too confident here about Phoenix chances with just from what I've seen against a far less team with far less offensive weapons. And certainly, before you even mention the Clippers' defensive personnel, the Clippers' top two wing defenders were their two stars who missed. So, certainly doesn't help either.
The mouth. Mid-range shots. What'd you say? Yeah. Keep on. My bad.
Oh, I was just saying, like, Phoenix, yes, they won in 5. Yes, Booker was phenomenal, and him and the KD fit looked really well in terms of the space generated for Booker. But I left with that series being more disappointed in Phoenix than anything else. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds, I left more disappointed than anything.
Damn, I forgot. We still got a playoff series going on.
Yep. The one everybody's excited for. Which we'll get to soon. We're going to wait for that one because it's, you know, that one's still going.
What I was going to say was the amount of mirror shots that are going to be taken for the Suns series is going to be nasty because they're going to take hella. Jokic is
they better not. They better not. You got to attack the hoop against this team. You know,
they're
can't be mid-range merchants. You just can't. Not against Denver.
They're
going to lose in 4 and 5 if that happens. Like,
really, they're all mid-range veterans or whatever.
I'm very concerned about who on Phoenix can even handle Jamal Murray. You know?
Nobody.
Like, Minnesota had Nikhil Alexander Walker. I don't even think Phoenix had anybody on that level defensively who could just chase someone around. Right. And then even if
who's
you do
guard him anyway?
Like, that's my thing. Okogie, I don't know if he's suitable for like a smaller, faster guard like that.
Well, Devin
I
Booker?
Guess that's one.
I guess Devin Booker wasn't bad.
Well, if you want Devin Booker
Booker
getting
wasn't bad.
torched, well, I mean, to be fair to Booker, the guy's playing 45 minutes tonight and he's carrying a ridiculous offensive load. So ask him to also lock down Jamal Murray is just too much. Like, that's asking
that's,
for too much.
That's going to be interesting.
And then KD guarding Michael Porter Jr., I don't know about if KD going to be able to
deal with that. He's not guarding. He's guarding Gordon. You can guard Gordon and Craig can guard Porter.
Yeah. So, and then again, Gordon's, can KD keep up with Gordon backdoor cuts consistently all game? When he has to play 44 minutes and lead the offense?
Gordon can't shoot. Gordon can't shoot, so he's going to run a lot.
Yeah, he literally can't shoot. It's nasty. But, I mean, if he's feeling it, you're in trouble, you know?
Yeah, sure.
There's really going to be no answers there. And obviously, Mike Malone can always bench Aaron Gordon and turn to Christian Braun and like he did against Minnesota.
Bruce Brown.
Jeff Green.
Or Bruce Brown played well, too. Well, yeah.
So Mike Malone certainly has options if needed to pressure them. All right. How about Swish's Lakers? Swish, I'm going to let you take the floor because, you know, you said you want to talk hot about your Lakers moving on.
Yeah, but I know, but Jalen not here. So I can't find that home. Jalen not here.
Lakers in six.
I think I didn't say anything.
Nah, Felice, you getting cooked too. I forgot about your tweet.
Oh,
good thing I didn't say anything.
You did.
That wasn't me.
You getting cooked too.
That's a different profile picture. That wasn't me.
You said you need to read back in your life. If you think Lakers beating the Memphis,
that wasn't me. That's a different profile picture. That wasn't me.
That was my God. That was somebody else.
Nah.
Then John Morant got injured. Then fucking the Grizzlies decided to just play with shit down their pants. That was hilarious.
Nah, because
I did not expect that shit.
You should have.
It was lopsided. Like, yes, there were games where, I mean, game five shouldn't have even been a Memphis
win. I mean, to be
honest,
like, the way the Lakers won, like, was not, like, if they were to win, that's not how I envisioned they would actually win.
Oh, no,
what do you
think
about
LeBron?
LeBron, I didn't think LeBron would have such a mid-ass series. Yeah.
And they still win?
Yeah. I didn't think that would happen. Like, that was
even AD had some really terrible offensive games.
I thought LeBron was actually going to be the best player in the series, and I don't even know who was. Like, I mean, probably
who was best
AD.
In the series?
Probably AD just because of defense, but, like, his offense wasn't really, like,
impressive either.
That's crazy. LeBron was still the leading scorer for the Lakers, even though he was still mid.
The whole Lakers team was bad, though. Like, they all, both teams shot terrible. Like, both teams were just bad from the field.
A lot of defensive series in these first rounds. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess if you just look at stats, I guess he said it was John Morant. If you just look at pearly stats.
If you just look at the raw stats, yeah, it's probably Ja. But I'd probably say it was AD just because of defense.
Yeah, AD's defense was generational this first round season. And, you know, Memphis, not to blame the head coach because not like he had anything else to do, but there has to be some adjustment. You can't have just keep attacking Anthony Davis when he's sending every shot back. Like, it was a tennis. Like, I was watching tennis almost. Like,
bro, that's the
just
thing.
Sending,
like,
it back.
When you don't have a secondary shot creator, like, you can't really do shit. I mean, Bane was having – he had a couple good games, but he was just too in his
And it took a lot of bad
shots. You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? I think someone called me crazy because I said when we were in the seventh seed, when we were about to be playing, I said that low key playing the Grizzlies would be better than playing the Kings because the Kings they'll kill us. All the offense, they're young.
That would be probably an offensive series.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
Like,
I said we match up better than Grizzlies.
And if it's
Lakers
an offensive
are in
series,
trouble in that
series, I would have leaned like Kings. Like,
I'm concerned about the Lakers shooting, Swish. I will say that it was very porous.
Yeah.
And they're open a lot.
That's why I said I didn't mind the Grizzlies. I was like, we could beat them. Adam and Clark, obviously they're hurt. So they had Tillman starting, and he's like 6'9". And
so, I mean, to be honest, Tillman wasn't even bad.
He's good on defense, yeah. I was shocked. He's pretty good.
He wasn't bad, but at the end of the day, he's 6'9". He's not a real
center. The Grizzlies are playing some crazy-ass NPCs. This has Santi Aldama. Okay,
Santi Aldama, I'll play Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks, I'm sorry. I'm deleting that nigga's videos
from my
fucking camera.
He's 40. I poke bears. You got to drop 40. I mean, you lost by 40. So.
And the crazy thing is,
our
defense.
My king, Pat Bev, he would never go out like that. He would have taken some Chargers. He would have
Pat
done
Bev would have, he would have left with an impression. That's all I know.
Yeah.
He would have dove at somebody's legs. He would have done some shit.
Not, Bat Bev would have lived with his moment. Bat Bev would have his moment. He's not good. And you know, Pat Bev wouldn't duck media either. He would be there talking this shit regardless, win or lose.
Who would have been like, you know, I tried everything, you know?
Right, you know, they got lucky. What was that? What was that KD, him and Lou Will interview that has me laughing to this day after they lost to Golden State?
It was like, you know, we tried everything, but
you know, KD. Like. Yeah, you know, Pat Bev would have had his statements to say. That's a troll done right, Dylan Brooks. Learn how to properly troll. Because your trolling is trash.
I thought he would have at least one fake shooting game. Ah, he was just ass.
Dylan My Brooks. Favorite moment of the series is bro shot 3 of 15 and game winning three. Bro, I don't call it game winning. They're up by 10 anyways, but I could see the dagger. And bro started flexing on LeBron like, bro, you're 3 of 15.
Bro, he was busy our sixth man, bro.
Literally. He's on your team at this point.
Dylan Brooks didn't even have a fake shooting game. Like, he was just consistently ass.
And he was getting cooked on top of that.
And he had open looks. We left that nigga wide open.
Like, you know, it's funny how LeBron, this one had me laughing for these. What's the Memphis coach name? Taylor Jenkins was turning to Xavier Tillman to guard LeBron while Dylan Brooks is on the court. And LeBron's asking for screens to get either JJJ or Brooks on him. Bruh, why was Xavier Tillman got LeBron the most scared out of everybody else on your team? Is that not a concern, a red flag?
Who?
Xavier, do you remember in overtime and the end of the game whenever Xavier Tillman got LeBron would ask like a screen to get him off him?
Oh,
It just had me laughing because like he would rather have Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson guard him than Xavier Tillman. That is a rip because Jaren Jackson was actually a really good game one on both ends. And then as it continued, he had some really good defensive plays. But as the series continued, I feel like his defensive presence especially went down every game as it went along. Because the Lakers were really good at the rim. They were plus 10 above league average. But they found a lot of success.
Dylan Brooks was really not really effective on either end, offense or defense.
Right. You could say, oh, LeBron shot bad, but LeBron was just missing shots he makes. I'm not going to lie. I don't think
he shot like 5% through the line.
In game six, shots started to fall. You know, game six, his shots fell that he was missing earlier, and it wasn't. And I said, if you go back to my tweets, you know, one of the first things I noticed after watching game one, I said, if the Lakers can just make the open shots AD and LeBron are generating, this will not even be close, is what I said. And game six, what happened? Guys made their shots. It wasn't
the crazy thing is, literally, I think we match up good with them, so I felt confident going into the series. I was like, we could definitely beat them.
I feel like the only team the Lakers match up bad with in the Western Conference is the Timberwolves. I don't think any other team they match up bad with, I could think about.
You said that?
Yeah, that's the only thing I think they match up bad with
in the West.
The Timberwolves is the only thing I genuinely think they match up bad with.
What about the Nuggets?
Hell no.
I don't think you match up. I mean, offensively, I don't know. Maybe if you just spam pick and roll. I don't know. That series is weird. I'll have to think about it.
What series? Like,
Denver, right?
The Nuggets. I don't know. That would be a good one, though. In general, it's just better than it has been in previous years. Offense looked really good in the first round.
Nah, the Lakers are in trouble. I'm not going to lie. The Lakers are in big trouble.
No, all I'm saying is
other teams are going to make their open shots. Swish. Other teams are not missing, like the Grizzlies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Grizzlies are missing a shit ton of good shots.
So, Sacramento is not missing that. Regardless who you play next, either Golden State or Sacramento, they're not missing those looks.
I don't know about Golden State.
Sacramento? They got home court. Don't forget, State would have home court.
A Chi Center is definitely a thing.
Chase Center cheat code, you know?
It happened last game, but you're right.
But yeah, both Kings and Golden State have been terrible from three as well.
Only two players I'd be worried about on the Warriors, like offensively, literally just Curry and Wiggins. Like everybody else, I'm not moving. And then Looney for rebounds. Like that's literally the only three players I'd even game plan against.
Yeah,
like
but
deadass, that roster is so mid. I don't know.
What do you do if you're Memphis, right? I'm kind of concerned about Memphis.
I'm asking Felice a question.
Go ahead, Swish. My bad.
No, I'm gonna ask Felice. So, if the Warriors play the Lakers, you got the Lakers?
Who would have the home court advantage? It would be the
Warriors and Kings would both have home court. Whoever moves
both have it.
All right, so Cheat Center is a thing, so I don't know, bro. That's I think that would be a seven game series.
I got Lakers in five if they play Golden State.
I think that's just going cheat center is a thing, bro. Like whatever it is with the Warriors at home.
How they winning five?
I don't think Golden center. State standing up to the Lakers, bro.
You got the Lakers winning like three games on the road.
I'm telling you that right now.
Who's stopping Anthony Davis? Who's stopping Anthony Davis?
You act like Looney's not a good defender.
He's getting cooked.
He's a good defender. He's outplaying the bonus also.
Bro, did you not see what AD has done to the Warriors this year?
No, you're right. You're right. And I have.
It's just his team to play. He likes the matchups over there. The only concern I literally have for the Lakers is if they can continue making their shots, that's it. Because you're going to get Golden State allows a lot of threes too as well, open looks. They've been allowing Sacramento a lot of open looks, but Sacramento's been shooting terrible as well. My biggest concern with them is they've been allowing a lot of rim pressure. Austin Reeves, you can have your opinions on him. He pressures the rim. Yeah. He's going to go at the rim, and he's going to draw fouls. LeBron, too. So,
yeah.
Dennis Schroeder, too. You know, sometimes he takes a little mid-range shot, but so Lakers have a lot of people who pressure the rim. And Golden State, for whatever reason, has been typically they do a very good job of limiting rim shots, but they've just been allowing Sacramento to get in, especially Malik Monk and Fox with regularity to just get inside and get whatever they want, which has been a very major, major concern for me. This is why I think Lakers will win in five, you know, because I don't see how you can, I don't know how foresee you could stop LeBron,
I know, but
Anthony Davis and those guys.
It's just because we can't guard guards, so they'll cook us. Curry's gonna kill us.
Oh, you can't. The only thing I'm worried
about.
The thing is, right?
Curry, what?
Is your Golden State, first of all, has not been shooting too hot this playoffs. Klay Thompson is not the usual Klay Thompson. He's a shell of himself. Golden State's bench is very overrated.
Overrated? That shit's just ass, bro.
I mean,
you got to literally just double team Curry off every pick
and roll. I don't know, because AD is actually good.
Just trap literally Fox, every pick with Curry in it.
What would Fox do against the Lakers? Because nobody on the team is keeping up with him, but at the same time, you also have AD, so.
It doesn't matter. Fox is always picking Lakers. He's done it for the last 2 years. In the
Fox getting his, year. Bro. Fox getting his. He's just
the Lakers.
Because the thing about Fox is yeah, he's going to have, unlike Ja, who literally was running into like three people because no one can shoot on that damn team.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lakers are going to be comfortable with just allowing Malik Monk and Kevin Herter and Keegan Murray and Barnes to just be open all game. I don't think they'll be comfortable with that.
And Michael Lottie, low-key, you can make a case Fox is on level with Ja Morant. I'm not going to lie to you.
He's been better than him this playoffs. He's been better than him this postseason. Because
Fox has a better floater game. He can shoot better. Somehow he's making threes now. His rim pressure is like not the same, but it's still really good. And he's a better defender.
Floater shot is going to be critical against AD. But AD low-key was rejecting Josh floaters too. So I don't know if that was going to end up mattering anyway. But again,
it's Fox the shooters. Because
Sabonis was pulling up in game six too. So if Sacramento can figure out their shooting, the only person who's really shooting like they're supposed to for Sacramento is Keegan Murray. Who was bad the first couple of games. Right. And then now he's picked it up. Right. And
Kevin Herter has been so bad, bro. Like, it's just.
Yeah, but he's been big lately, too. He was big game six, you know. Yeah. He hit his shots. So
I know he finally.
I think Lakers have more trouble defending Sacramento because they're going to pressure the rim. Malik Monk and Fox are going to pressure the rim as much as Memphis will. But the big difference is you're trusting the Memphis Sacramento shooters a little bit more. Then there is no injuries for Sacramento. They don't have anyone out. So you're saying
if you're a Lakers fan, you'd want like the worst one.
I don't go to State easily. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Not even no hesitation.
That is interesting.
No hesitation.
Either way.
Because Sacramento's getting a generational whistle. So I mean, put that on top of it.
Bro, it would be a high ass scoring series. It would be really high because look at the regular season. All their matches were high scoring. They were all like fun games, and I think it would go seven.
And then as I said, switch. Curry, for whatever reason, he's not attacking the rim as much. So that also is just a big positive for the Lakers if you can keep him away from the rim and creating open shots for others. Maybe he will switch up the way he plays, but you never know.
You know what AD would do to his bonus, bro?
That's bad, it would be bad. I still would have the Lakers moving on. I have the Lakers moving on regardless, but I think Lakers and Kings is a 7-game series. Well, I'll go to say they're getting packed up in 5. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Even LeBron would have like 25, 26 points, 27. He would go crazy too because they have no matchup for either of them.
Exactly. So, all right, tomorrow's game. Now that you mentioned the Swish. Game 7. What do you guys foresee happening here, man? What do you guys foresee happening here in Game 7?
Please go first. I don't know yet.
I don't know, bro. I feel like this could go either way. Even though the Kings have looked way better at home, I don't know, bro, because the Warriors, like, none of their players are really, like, moving me. It's only been, like, 3 players I think have performed well with a couple of good Clay games here and there, but I don't know, man. If I was to pick one team to win that game, I would say it's the Kings.
I got the Kings. I got the Kings by 8-7 double-digit blowout. Golden State lost their chance to win the series last night. That was their golden opportunity.
Six.
Swish, what's your prediction?
I think it'll be a close game.
What did Felice say?
He has the Kings in a close one.
This is tough, bro. I'm still deciding. I don't really know, bro.
I got Kings in a blowout. I think it's gonna be over in the third quarter. Kevin Herter found his touch finally. Holy God, took him long enough. Keegan Murray finally found himself. Sabonis is gonna be like trash anyway. I'm not even trusting that guy. But
you don't trust the Warriors experience?
I don't care about experience. It's so overrated. If Warriors experience really mattered, they would have closed it out yesterday. But the younger team came into their house and punched them in the teeth, and dominated them when it counted.
You got a point on that.
You know, the reality is Sacramento is just pressuring the rim way more. They're drawing way more fouls. They're going to be at home. So you know what that means? The ref's going to sit out here and be a little bit biased, maybe. Although Golden State fans shouldn't be whining about that. They know what a little bit of home cooking is. They had road cooking against Houston a couple years ago. So I expect the refs to lean towards Sacramento a little bit, the home crowd, the atmosphere. You know, when you're a young team and Game 7, and you win Game 6 like that, you blow out a team in Game 6.
Yeah.
You could tell the Kings players, just their confidence is high right now.
And I'll tell you right now, nobody thought they'd win that Game 6 besides them. Not even Kings fans thought they were winning that Game 6.
I believed in the Kings. I had them winning Game 6. I didn't want to
like
series.
I'm saying, like most people had the Warriors winning.
Right, facts. Exactly.
I thought Game 6. Because I thought the Kings would win Game 5, but obviously they didn't. When Game 6 came around, I did not think they would.
Exactly. And Game 6 Clay, I was like, hell no. I was like, no chance.
Game 6 Clay is the fakest narrative ever. Is the fakest narrative ever created by me.
He's had like 3 good Game 6s. I'm not going to lie.
He's had some terrible ones. Like, it literally just, he's an average Game 6 player. Because for every elite game he has a couple of terrible ones. Malik Monk said, we figured it out. We're going to make him run. They can't keep up with this. They're older. And he's completely 100% correct.
Nah, that's crazy because, like, you know the games the Warriors won? They had 3 days rest or, like, 3 days, like, off or 2 days off, you know?
Right.
But when it was 2 days, the Kings won all those games.
And the Kings are young, you know, for these Swish. They're just going to run at Golden State all game. They're going to attack the rim all game. Yeah. They're going to get the refs to give them some calls all game. And if Kevin Herter and Keegan Murray are truly back, finally shooting, like, NBA players, it's over. Like, Golden State don't stand a chance because – as we said, Sacramento's defense is better.
No. They stand a chance. They have the best player on the court.
That's Curry. One thing.
Yo.
If Sabonis is not giving you offensive value, I would seriously consider benching him.
For Trey Lyles, 100%.
Trey Lyles,
I agree.
Trey Lyles, he's playing good. Yeah.
Five out. I'll play five out. I'll start. Matter of fact, I'll start game seven and bench his ass.
That's not happening. But,
well, I wouldn't. Yeah.
I mean, he's playing like a. You're playing like a garbage player. I don't care. It's
if
games to win.
If he's not giving you like some level of playmaking value, if he's not rebounding, which he hasn't really done this series, if he's not giving you something, I'd seriously consider benching him.
Yeah.
You can see Golden State just couldn't handle the five out offense. They just couldn't. Like Sacramento kept getting free looks at three, and they kept making them. Finally, like they typically would shoot. And again, I just think being at home, home crowd, he just waxed them. I mean, it's gonna be bad. And then Golden State, you know, the mental fatigue. I'm sure.
You said what? I know, but so you're not scared of Steph Curry, the best player on the court?
Couldn't care less. There's only one man. One man can't make a difference.
I know, but we know what he's done in those moments.
Why has he done like it? I actually want to know Steph Curry's Game 7's history. I actually genuinely interested. Because I remember Game 7 against the Cavs, he was terrible.
I know, but I know, but look at the
even,
Rockets
how many
game
games
seven.
I don't even think he's been in much Game 7's in his career, has he?
Okay, the Thunder. Remember when the Thunder played the Warriors Game 7?
No, he was sensational. Props to him. He was sensational that game. Yeah, he was
good. He was good against us in Game 7. That was the only
And the
game.
Rockets. And the Rockets,
only,
yeah.
That was the
that,
only
that
game
don't count. That
series.
Don't count. That was NFL screen setting was going on in that game.
But that was the only game in that series where Kevin Durant and Curry simultaneously played well together. It was like either or for that whole series.
But Switch, I do listen. Steph is sensational, right? But like, there's been games where he's played really good and they lose anyway. Game one is a prime example of that. So. They're like a minus like 40 when that guy sits for a couple minutes. They're terrible without him. And again, one man can't save you. When other guys are playing like
right.
trash and Sacramento's role players are splashing shots. And I mean, if you watch the year, you know Sacramento just has a better team around their players than Curry has.
And nobody's talking about it.
So I don't know.
Talking
man.
About it, but I know, and you're right. And nobody's talking about it, but Jordan Poole has been so ass like the last.
He's been horrible. He's been a disgrace, especially these last couple of games. That's what happens when you try to play like Steph Curry and you have 50% of the talent. There has to be
like
bumpers.
Austin
like
Reed,
Steve Kerr got to give him bumpers. You know what I mean? Like you got to play smarter
like
than this.
If you replace Austin Reeves with Jordan Poole right now, they're better. I'm not gonna lie.
Definitely.
They're a better.
They're
better.
They're a better team. Do I think this? I still think it's 3-2, but they are a better team.
Yeah, definitely.
And
because Reeves gives you some defense and. He's
you know,
more
at least
production
getting
on offense.
Rim pressure. He's going to get you free throws.
Yeah.
But, I don't see Golden State winning tomorrow. I don't think they have much of a chance.
Okay,
to be
so
honest.
I'm going to say King is a close one. Like a really,
Jason,
really close
come
one.
Come on, Sacktown, everybody. We got to, come on, man. Like, Golden State was just home and got destroyed. It didn't even look fair. And,
a blowout
you know,
five
is
crazy,
out.
Though.
Five
a blowout
out.
Is crazy.
I mean, five? Did they not just blow him out? Switch a game ago.
I don't know about back-to-back games.
I mean, what's stopping them? Kings from blowing them out at home if they could do it on the road? Chase Center, man. This is Golden State. This is where they don't lose.
Oh no, I think Game 7 are really blowouts. That's why I just don't think they're really blowouts like that.
Last year, wasn't every Game 7 a blowout?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, like Milwaukee got blown out.
Besides the Bucks and stuff, yeah.
I guess the Heat and
Celtics
came out the last shot.
We don't have to mention the game, but y'all don't know who got their shit kicked in a Game 7.
When? Oh, yeah. We don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about it.
Like, we don't even have to talk about that.
We talk about that.
I turned that game off by the first quarter.
That was the fakest game ever, bro. But I almost still give the props. Especially then we was hitting step back threes. Especially then we, I was like, yeah, this shit's over.
That was one of the funniest moments on NBA Twitter, man. But all right, man. Appreciate y'all coming on. We'll be back when round two ends, and you can catch us on Twitter Spaces probably sometime next week once we get some of these series kicked off. And I'll see you guys once round two ends.
All right.